And I believe that all of us need to be prayer warriors. Amen. And I am thankful and honored that the Lord has blessed me with, or blessed us here, maybe I should say, the people in this church that seek the face of God and pray. And so we're going to go along those lines tonight. We're going to go with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane in Luke chapter number 22. Luke chapter 22. Hope everybody had a wonderful day with your family, maybe your children, mothers, family get-togethers, however. And I don't think I'll hold you long tonight. Let's go to Luke chapter 22. Somebody mentioned this morning on the way out that one of the visitors' kids said, "Boy, I like that preaching," said he, "let us go quick." So, well, don't get used to it. I should have said, "Well, come on back tonight and I'll show you that it ain't always that way." But I don't think I'll keep you too long. I'm not planning on it. Don't have a whole lot here. So, but I do have something that the Lord has laid on my heart. Luke chapter 22 and verse 39. The Bible says, "And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling to the ground. And when he arose up from prayer, he was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And while he spake, behold a multitude, and he that was called Jesus, one of the twelve, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him." Amen. Let's pray while we're still standing. Lord, thank you for the privilege to be in your house tonight. Pray that you speak to our hearts, Lord. You know, this subject we'd like to talk about tonight, Lord, is very dear to our hearts. And very dear to others here today, God, that pray and seek the face of God. Pray that you would encourage us to pray more than we ever have. And I pray, Lord, that you would encourage us, maybe some here that need an established prayer life, and that that would become a part of every one of us today. And thank you for it in Jesus' name. Church said amen. Amen. You may be seated.
I'll just briefly read to you Matthew 26. The Bible tells us in Matthew 26, verse 36, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, which would be James and John, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy." This is Matthew's gospel. "Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, fell on his face, and praying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He cometh unto his disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What could not Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. He came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. And then he cometh to his disciples and said, Sleep on now, take your rest, the hour is at hand, the Son of Man is betrayed in the hands of sinners." This is very familiar to us, and this is what I want to preach to us tonight, this right here. Luke's gospel tells us that an angel came and strengthened him. You've probably heard it preached. I believe, I'm fully convinced that Jesus won the battle in the garden. That he won the battle praying in the garden. I've seen times, even in church or revival or services, where someone was really delivered. At some point or another, someone had been in the garden and fought the battle. There have been times that I have to say, by the grace of God, I have been in the battle. I've been in the garden and won the battle. And I saw, amen, the victory later on. And Jesus died on the cross, but you see there's that conquering of self that must take place first. There's that conquering of us, amen, first. Jesus willingly laid down his life, amen, but he fought the battle in the garden. Amen. Matter of fact, when Peter pulled out the sword and cut the servant of the high priest's ear off, Jesus put his ear back on, healed his ear, and said, put up your sword. He said, those that live by the sword will die by the sword. Jesus was willing to die, but there was this agony that was taking place. And the Bible said in Matthew that he prayed three times, saying the same thing. I kind of look at it. I don't know, most Bible commentators would agree that Jesus went away for an hour and prayed. And he came back and found them asleep. Matthew's gospel says that he came back three different times. He woke them up the first time after he came back. He said, get up and pray. Amen. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But their eyes was heavy, and they couldn't stay awake. Luke's gospel said they was asleep for sorrow. Sorrow had gotten a hold of them, and they was asleep. And then Matthew's gospel said he goes again the second time. Luke said it about as far as you could throw a stone. You know, maybe, you know, about here to the gym or something. Maybe people could throw it farther than that. But just about a stone's throw, you know. And he went away from Peter, James, and John. That was the only ones that was with him in the garden. The others was elsewhere. And he goes away, and I look at it like he prays another hour. I don't know. All I have to go on, and most Bible commentators do agree, is because Jesus said, couldn't you watch with me 1 hour? And so that would give us the idea that he had went away for an hour. The Bible says he goes away the second time. I want to look at it like he goes away another hour, whether that was the case or not. He comes back. Amen. After he's prayed twice, he finds them asleep again, and he just leaves them asleep. And he goes back and he prays again the third time. And then he comes and says, rise. Amen. We got to go. This is in the night. And Jesus has fought this battle. Whether it's 3 hours, I know we put a lot of time on prayer. Time is important with prayer, though. You know, we write the song, or we sing the song, has been written, just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. When I got saved, I probably didn't pray 5 minutes. Matter of fact, I believe I was saved the first second that I surrendered to the Lord. I believe if I was praying down there, and I know that my dad led me in the sinner's prayer, But I was under such conviction, even as a young person, just a little boy. But I believe if the Lord would have come back 1 second after I started praying, that I'd have been saved and went to heaven. Amen. That song says, the first verse said, just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. There have been times when I didn't have time to pray for an hour on needs and different things. I didn't have time to cry out, you know, and go. But I believe that it's when we're prayed up. Said the next verse said, just a little talk with Jesus takes the mist away. And then I think third one, maybe the clouds away. But time is very important in our prayer life. If you're going to really be a prayer warrior, it will take time. Amen. We live in a day of speed. And everything is at our fingertips. Everything, you know, can you imagine if you was to take somebody that, you know, maybe had been in prison for 20 or 30 years. I know they would see the news and different things. But somebody that had maybe raised somebody from the dead 50 years ago and bring them back, they'd think was all crazy with these phones walking around. Like, what in the world is that? Can you imagine going back 50 years and tell them, say, there's these people that have these devices they carry around. You can track them on it. You know where they are. You can go to the company and they'll tell you exactly where they are. The police know where they are. You can call them. You can send them a message. I mean, people think, man, I wouldn't want to be around that group of people at all. But here we are in 2016. But we live in a day and hour where everything is right there. If I have a prayer request, you take in all reality. 30 years ago, if I was hurt, broke my arm, my kid broke my arm, it may take some time for even everybody in the church to find out that I've broken my arm. But I mean, in 2016, if I fall and break my leg tomorrow, within minutes, everybody would know or could know that, you know, unless you're, you know, busy or something, you're going to know. Most everybody's going to know within just a few minutes, if not seconds. And, but anyways, that doesn't take away from the truth of pure praying. Amen. I'll be the first to admit, just because I know your arm's broke doesn't mean that I've prayed about it. Amen. Now, I believe that there's power in unity. And I don't, you know, say that sometimes somebody send me a message that I just go away and pray for hours for somebody. But there are times that, amen, that I feel like it's important for me to steal away, amen, and pray over a need that has been presented to me. And then there's other times that I may just, you know, just quietly, you know, silently just, you know, pray. And for the most part, in 2016, if we're honest, most prayer requests we get, we send up a little prayer and we go on our way. That's not what I'm preaching about tonight, okay? I took this first 30 minutes or 40 minutes, however long it feels, to get started. I want to talk about really praying, getting along with God, making a difference in our life. Amen. Prayer changes things. You're looking at a person right here that'll stand flat-footed and look you square in the eye, that I am more convinced in the power of prayer than I have ever been in my life. Now, I'm not just talking about something that I want to talk about or write about. I mean, we can write about prayer. That's not praying. We can preach about prayer. That's not praying. We can sing about prayer. That's not praying. We can talk about prayer. That's not praying. I'm talking about getting alone with God. Jesus was in the garden. He was fixing to die. He was fixing to make history. History was fixing to change. All time, even the dates of time, are fixing to change. Amen. We're fixing to go from B.C. to A.D. Amen. Within a few hours, here we are. Amen. Jesus is in the garden, and he is praying. And he is saying, Father, if you're willing, let it pass from me, but not my will. I want you to know, church, I believe that real praying is not my will, but thine be done. Real praying is a surrenderance to God. God already has it in control. You know, it takes more time for God to get us ready than it does for him to do the miracle. It takes God longer to get us prepared than it does for him to roll back the Red Sea in our life. Amen. But here he is praying, not my will, but thine be done. And an angel from heaven come down and strengthened him. Strength. And after this strength came, the Bible says, he being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. I want to talk to us along these lines. Jesus took the strength and utilized it to pray harder. And I want to preach tonight on strengthened to agonize. Strengthened to agonize. Amen. And I want to run that by you one more time. A lot of times, we throw away our strength from God instead of putting it in a place where it could be the most beneficial to us spiritually. Amen. God, help us tonight. Lord, help us. Oh, Lord, touch us tonight, I pray. Thank you, Jesus. Strengthened to agonize. The angel come and strengthened him, and he went back to prayer. I think sometimes we're in too much of a hurry. I think sometimes we're in too much of a rush. We get a touch from God, amen, and a blessing from God, maybe at church, amen, and we want to see how fast we can rush out the door. Now, I know that we're all on the time schedule and different things, and people have to get up and go to work early, and things like that. But amen, I believe that God would like for us sometimes to linger in His presence instead of being in such a rush. And here this angel comes and strengthens him. And what does Jesus do with the strength? He takes the strength and he uses it to pray harder than he was. Amen. Brother Mike, we got a new sound man back here. Turn this bad boy off right here. Thank you, brother. That didn't bother y'all, did it? Let's give Brother Mike a hand. Good job. Jesus takes the strength and he uses it to pray harder. Sometimes we get a blessing. Sometimes something happens in our life. Amen. And instead of allowing it to push us closer to God, amen, we use it to run. And before we come back to God, we're barely hanging on. We're running on steam again. And all we're doing is huffing and puffing and saying, man, I barely made it back right now. Amen. But Jesus had a battle to win. Jesus had a battle to win. And we've got a battle to win for our family, for our loved ones, for our souls. Amen. All mankind was hanging in the balance. The salvation of man was hanging in the balance. And here, thank God, comes an angel to strengthen him. I believe that the Lord will strengthen you in prayer. It may be a thought that comes to your mind while you're praying and encourages you. Maybe joy that comes to you. Amen. Take that joy. Take that strength. Amen. And let it cause you to get, amen, deeper in prayer. Closer in prayer to God. Amen. He was strengthened to agonize. And so let's look here. I want to talk to us. First off, the Bible says he went about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed. Amen. And then the second thing was strength. Hallelujah. He was drawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed. Verse 43, we skip a verse and he says, there appeared an angel and strengthened him. And so he was praying and strength come in the prayer. And then verse 44, he didn't get up and run out. Amen. But instead he stayed right there and prayed harder. And that's what I want to preach to us tonight. Strengthened to agonize. Do we know what agonize means? Agonize means, amen, pain. Agonize means anguish. Jesus was in anguish here. Oh God, I wonder if we could get to the place, amen, you know, when a mother brings forth a child, all the pain that is involved, amen, she goes right to the door of death to bring life into this world. And so likewise, we must in prayer, amen, to birth children into God's kingdom. Amen. The Bible said when Zion travailed, she brought forth children. And if we will travail in prayer and be in agony in prayer. I know some people pray loud. I know some people pray quiet. I know some people like others to pray for them. I know some people don't like nobody praying for them. Amen. I don't really care how we pray or you pray. You just better pray. Amen. Live for God and take care. Amen. Of living for God and quit sinning. Amen. Prayer is very important in our life. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What is he talking about here? He brings Elijah into the place or into the picture. He says, pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer. Fervent prayer. Amen. That doesn't mean you have to be loud. Matter of fact, Jesus said, amen, when you pray, enter into your closet and pray in secret. He said, these guys pray out here on the corner of the street and they think that they're going to be, amen, heard for their much speaking. All these words that they've got, amen, and public prayer is biblical. Amen. The Bible tells us about public prayer. Amen. But I mean, when we really get down to business, we don't care what anybody else hears us. Hallelujah. I remember one time, there's going to pray over the food or something, ask somebody to pray, and man, you couldn't hear them. They said, well, I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to the Lord. And you know, sometimes when we're praying, it's not that the person next to us hears us or don't hear us. Some people don't care. It doesn't matter. But we're not praying so people can hear us. It's not words that people can hear, even though that may have its place. Jesus said they have their reward. He said, but if you'll pray in secret, the Father that seeth in secret will reward thee openly. He said, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. In other words, Elijah got tired. Elijah got sick. Amen. Elijah was a praying man, and he prayed that it wouldn't rain 3 years. It didn't rain. He prayed again, and it did rain. But Elijah was not superhuman. He just had a super God. Amen. He was subject to like passions as we are. We get in there to pray, we get sick. Amen. There's demonic forces that is against prayer. Amen. Maybe you get tired. Maybe your phone will ring. Now, I'm not saying that the devil's called me, but sometimes I thought it was the devil. You know, just call and you get to pray. And sometimes you got to turn your phone off. Sometimes you got to, you know, text message come through. Something like that. I mean, this is just simple stuff. But it will affect your prayer life. Amen. Going to the same place and praying, you know. And that, you know, that's not necessarily has to be. You can pray over here tonight, over there tomorrow night, over there in the morning, back over here at the couch in the morning, at the bedroom tonight, whatever. But you must learn how to pray yourself. Amen. Me as a person, if I can get in the same place, it seems like I can get in the spirit of it and pray. And so it's not that God hears me better, amen, in my office or at my house or on the couch or whatever. It's that I can pray better sometimes in certain settings. Amen. Some people pray better in the morning. Some people pray better at night. Amen. God is awake all the time. It doesn't matter if it's the morning or night. Amen. But don't make excuses. Amen. That you can't pray in the morning and then run so ragged that you're so wore out you don't feel like praying at night. If you can pray at night, pray at night. If you can pray in the morning, get up and pray in the morning. The point is, we must pray. Amen. And we must pray for one another, calling names. I believe it's important, amen, to remember and pray for people. It's not necessarily you've got to have a prayer list. Amen. But you remember this right here. The faintest ink is better than the strongest memory. The most faded ink is better than the strongest memory. And so if you've got something to pray about, when you get in there in spiritual warfare, sometimes you might forget. It's important that you call people's names out to God. It's important that you call your lost loved ones' names out to God. Amen. It's important that you pray in detail about things, because God is a prayer-answering God, and He loves to amaze His people. He loves to answer prayer. Amen. Elijah was subject to like passions. Like passions. What is your like passions? Amen. What is it? Is it that you're tired at night and can't pray? Well, Elijah could have been like that. He was subject to like passions like as we are. Well, you're tired in the morning, can't pray in the morning. Amen. What was it? What is it that you're, you know, like passion? In other words, your trouble, your hindrance. Amen. What helps you pray? Amen. We talk about what hinders us pray so much, but what helps you pray? Can you pray better with some music, soft music playing? Get some soft music and play. David played on the harp. Amen. Out there in the you know, out in the wild, you know, and he was close to God. He wrote some of the most beautiful prayers. David was a songwriter, but many of the songs, amen, was prayers. Matter of fact, amen, if you have trouble taking time praying, amen, get the Bible out and pray the Bible. Go to Psalms. Find those Psalms. There's so many Psalms. Amen. Psalms. Amen. That are prayers unto the Lord. And pray them. Take time. We must train ourselves. What helps you? Does it help you to have music playing? Does it help you to be quiet? Amen. I remember one time I got some earplugs. Jack, can I borrow them? Thank you. Yeah, put them on me. Somebody say something. Man, that's good, boy.
Pray with right there.
If you like that quiet, just don't get too loud. You might blow your own eardrums. Thank you, Jack. No, I won't do that, Jack. I wouldn't do that on purpose for sure. Get maybe earplugs or something. I remember a time, amen, I was so bothered by dogs barking. I was at this certain place preaching and these dogs was barking. I tried to get them to quit barking. They wouldn't quit barking. I asked them, I said, I need some earplugs. If you don't have none, I'm going to go get some. And they gave me some earplugs just so I could pray. I wore them while I was sleeping too, but anyways. But I was praying, whatever, what helps you pray? Amen, friend. I don't care if you wear earplugs. I don't care if it's quiet. Amen, I don't think God cares if it's music or not. I believe it ought to be Christian music and uplifting to the soul. Amen, not something that turns your mind away. And that's another message for another time. But the point is, we have got to get to praying. It's important that we pray together. It's important that we pray alone. Amen, it's important that we get in the garden. I don't think that Jesus, amen, according to this scripture, wanted to be all alone. He tried to get them to pray with him. I love to pray with others, but if others won't pray, we must go on and pray. Amen. He prayed to God, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. What was he doing? He was sharing his heart. Amen. Don't you share your heart with your wife or companion or your friends? Amen. Well, she may made me mad, or he made me mad. Amen. You know, your best friend go around and say, hey, I got to tell you something. I was down there and such happened, and that bothered me. Amen. That upset me. Or maybe I was down there, hey, I want to tell you I had a good day today. Look at this good deal I found at the store. Now, I'm not saying you're going to tell God about the lettuce on sale. You can thank him for it. But I'm going to tell you something right now. When something frustrates us, we ought to tell God about it. Well, he already knows. Well, he already knows your bills are due too. Why are you praying for that? Because you have not, because you ask not. Something frustrates you, somebody does you wrong, go to God in prayer and say, Lord, I just want to tell you. Amen. I felt like they treated me wrong. I want you to help me. You'll be surprised at how your attitude might change by the time you get done praying. Because he is God. He already knows about it, but he wants to walk with us, and he wants to talk with us. Amen. He wants to commune with us. Amen. He said, amen, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Wait a minute. This is Jesus. He is sharing his heart in prayer. He's saying, is it possible that we could do it another way? He knew there was no other way. And yet he was sharing his heart. Amen. Hallelujah. There's something about pouring ourselves out before God that pleases God in such a way that I cannot put in words to you. The Bible says, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Amen. I don't like to come to God with complaints or frustrations. Amen. With God. But there have been times that I've went before God and prayed. Amen. And I had to talk to God about some things. I didn't understand what God was doing. I wasn't going to backslide. I didn't think I was. Amen. I wasn't going to turn around on him. But I had to talk to him about things going on in my life. Amen. And let him know how I felt. He already knew how I felt. I want to tell you, when you get done pouring your heart out before God, amen, in a broken and a contrite way, amen, something changes. Amen. Something helps. Amen. I've never seen an angel. I have never, as far as I know, I had an experience one time. I wonder if it was, but I've never, as far as I know, I cannot say that I've honestly seen a supernatural angel as far as I know. Amen. But it's very likely in one instance, but as far as you know, Jesus is there praying, an angel appears to him. Nothing like that has ever happened. I heard about one preacher down in the South many years ago. He's a great man of God. Amen. Sought the Lord. And I'm talking about live for God. Amen. He prayed and went on a 40-day fast. He said, God, let me see an angel. I want to see an angel. He prayed. Amen. He was on that. Y'all might have heard this. He was praying, and in the church one night after he had fasted, I believe 40 days and praying, and he said, God, let me see an angel. And he said, amen, the back of that church lit up, amen, a bright light. He said, I got so scared and afraid. He said, I mean, I'm talking about I was close to God, living for God, and far as I know, he was all the way till his death. He said, I fell down at that altar and said, oh God, amen, I'm sorry. I don't think I can live. I don't think I can see an angel and live. I don't think my whole flesh can take it. Amen, would you take him away? He said, I'm talking about fear got a hold of me. He said, I mean, it was such an awesome awesome presence you could not imagine. Amen. But I'm telling you, I've never saw an angel that I know of, but there have been many times when I was praying, and I prayed with a pure heart before God. I'm not saying an angel came, but he sure did strengthen me. Hallelujah. I said he sure did strengthen me. He sure gave me strength. Hallelujah. Amen. He sure did help me along the way. Amen. He sure did give me strength. And that's what happened here. An angel appeared and strengthened him from heaven. I may have never saw an angel, but I have sure got strength from heaven before. Can I get a witness? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about go to prayer, be mad at the world, mad at myself, mad at the devil, mad at God and everybody else. Come on, we might as well pull our self-righteous cloak off and admit, amen, that we're not always perfect. Went in there to prayer and come out a total different person. Friend, that is real. It's real. I'm not talking about a fantasy tonight. I'm not talking about a magic tonight. I'm talking about something real and genuine that is available for every person in prayer. He prayed. He said, pray one for another. It's important for us to pray for one another. I mean, you know, yesterday there was a preacher that I've not talked to in months. You know, preached for him several years ago up in another state. And he just sent me a text message. Saturday morning, sent me a text message. Just a scripture, just an encouraging scripture. You know, the Lord sees and, you know, something like that. Said, your work and labor of love and all that. I mean, I don't know. He may have been trying to get a revival or something like that. I ought to call him and tell him, say, if you're sending me a text to, you know, try to butter me up and get a revival, don't worry about it. We're all broke. We bought too many cakes and salsa. But anyways, I don't think that was the case. But he sent me a text. And so then yesterday evening when I was praying,
kids better straighten up.
Yesterday when I was praying, I got to praying for him. And I thought, the thought came to me, you know, if he would not have sent me that text, I would never even thought about him. But he sent me that text, and so it encouraged me, you know, and then later on in the evening when I was praying, I got to praying for him. Lord bless him. Lord help him. I mean, and, you know, in some great prophecy or something like that. And you know what? Sometimes that stuff, you know, just comes and goes and whatever. People will prophesy and say all kinds of stuff to you, and I don't know if it's real or fake or whatever. I just try to put it through the blood of Jesus, and if it's from God, I'll take it. If it's from the devil, go right back where you came from. I mean, can you imagine one old guy, he prophesied to me, said I was going to be a millionaire. Well, I sure didn't send that one back. I took that. I said, bring it on. But it ain't happened yet. Amen. I said, it ain't happened yet. Said all these wonderful things are going to happen. Another guy prophesied to me and said I was going to go crazy and go in the mental ward. You know, he didn't like me. He all this crazy stuff, you know. I was going to go to a nursing home and all this stuff. I mean, you know, y'all couldn't believe that kind of stuff, could you? I mean, but you know what? I just said, I send that back in the name of Jesus. And then somebody else told Sister Bethany she was going to, you know, have pneumonia and different things like that. You got all kinds of things. I'm sitting there looking. I'm thinking, man, I've pastored 12 years. I've been pastoring longer than you've been saved. That's what I'm thinking. Thinking, can you imagine the things I've heard in that time? The people that's come by and said this and said that and said this and said that. Some of that stuff you just got to take with a grain of salt. People just trying to make a name for themselves, you know. But prayer and a praying person, someone that's close to God, getting close to God. We must get close to God. Drawing nearer. Here comes this strength. This angel comes and strengthens him. Why did the angel come and strengthen him? The angel came and strengthened him so he could pray harder. So he could pray more earnestly. We're in war. Sister Bethany, I don't know if these words are still over here where she just sang that song. It says, I prepare for battle on my knees. The song says, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Said, I learned to stand down on my knees is where I learned to stand. Amen. Hallelujah. Said that this army becomes mighty by time spent on our knees. Another phrase in here. Our weapons are not carnal. Sometimes we get so fleshly and so carnal in our life. Amen. We're not praying enough. We get so sidetracked about the smallest things and the littlest things. And friends, tonight, I want to tell you it's because we're not praying enough. I've seen people get crossways on things. Amen. And I thought to myself, I've pastored you long enough. I saw a time where you was closer to God where you wouldn't have been bothered by that. Hello? That wouldn't have bothered you at a certain time in your life. Amen. So that encouraged me to let me know that it was a spiritual issue. Praise God. It was a spiritual issue. So many things we fight are spiritual issues. Even in our day-to-day life, even in our body, even in our homes, even in our finances, they're spiritual issues. You try to cut one of them fingers off right there, all five of them, without the other part of the hand hurting. Try to cut it off. It's all connected. Everything.
You take this one out.
It's all connected. In your life, whether it's spiritual, financial, physical, emotional, all of that, many times it's all connected to the same hand. And I'm telling you, if we get the hand nailed to the cross, everything else will be where God wants it, and it will be exactly. If we get the hand folded in prayer, amen, God will do it. Help us to be prayer warriors for God. Help us to seek God. He was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Effectual fervent. How fervent did Elijah pray? Well, let's just use this instance. When he prayed again that it would rain, the Bible says that he told Ahab, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. Amen. That was the faith that he had. And yet he went up to the top of the mountain, and he put his head between his knees. And he prayed. Now, I would say that was a little bit of better prayer than sending a text message saying, I'm praying for you. Hello? I mean, I appreciate somebody saying, I'm praying for you, but I mean, you know, if I send you a text message, I'm praying for you, that does not mean that I'm praying for you like Elijah did on Mount Carmel. He put his head between his knees. He told the servant, he said, go look toward the sea. The servant came back and said, there is nothing. He said, go again. He went again. There is nothing. He said, go again 7 times. Amen. 7 is God's number of completion. He was not just saying, go again 5, 6, 7 times. He was saying, go until it's completed. Just like God said, I'll judge you 7 times according to your sin. What he meant was, I'll judge you as much as I can. Amen. I'll judge you until it's completed. I'll punish you 7 times more. Amen. And when he said that they heated the furnace, amen, 7 times hotter, when the 3 Hebrew children, he said, heat it 7 times hotter. What Nebuchadnezzar was really saying was, get it as hot as you can get it. Amen. And other times when 7 times is used, when he said, a just man falleth 7 times, yet he ariseth again. He's not just talking about 5, 6, 7. Okay, I fell 7 times. Amen. And that's it. I can't never get up no more. I've made 7 mistakes. God's done with me. Oh, thank God he's not done with us. Peter said, how many times do I forgive my friend or my neighbor or my brother when he trespasses against me? 7 times. Jesus said, quit counting, Peter. Amen. God's not putting a mount on it. He's saying 7. Amen. Is until it's completed. He said, I don't say 7. He said 7 times 70. That's 490. But you know, in the Roman numerals, they could not do that multiplication. In the Roman numerals, the 7 times 70 was an impossibility. Amen. For those math people of that day, what Jesus was saying, you go try to figure that out. Amen. There's never an end. He said that many times in one day. So when he said, go again seven times when he is praying here, he said, I'm going to pray until I see it happen. God, help us to not give up on our loved ones. God, help us to not give up on our children. God, help us to not give up on our families. God, help us to not give up on our community, our country, America. Help us to not give up on revival. I know it may get dark. I know it may get bleak. But as long as somebody's praying, there is still hope. The Bible says that the Antichrist is going to rise. The Bible says the spirit of the Antichrist is already in the world today. Y'all don't worry about these children. I'd like to preach tonight. The devil might disturb them a little bit and try to sidetrack us, but let's just come on. That's all right. A little crying don't bother me. I can take care of that later, no problem. Not really. Y'all know I'm just a big talker. Hallelujah. Antichrist. The Bible says the Antichrist, his spirit is already in the world. The Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians, only he who letteth will now let until he be taken out of the way. That word let in the old English meant hinder. I know in our English it means allow or let, but in the old English it meant hinder. Amen. And there's some words like that that has been changed in our modern English, in the old English. Like quick meant life. Amen. And now quick means, you know, fast. And there's other words that have changed. And even changed in modern, you know, language. But the Bible says, only he who now letteth will let, will hinder until he be taken out of the way. I'm telling you, you can believe it any way you want to. Amen. Some people say that's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the third person of the Trinity. He's God. He cannot be taken out. There will be people saved after, amen, the tribulation, amen, starts. They'll be beheaded for Christ. Their heads cut off and all that. Who could it be? I believe it's the church. Amen. I believe that God is saying, amen, that there is a force that is hindering the Antichrist from rising. Amen. I believe that the Bible is saying that there is a force. Amen. What is that force? It's the church that prays. Amen. Can you imagine if ever praying grandma was taken out of this world right now? Can you imagine the evil that would take place immediately? You're talking about in the tribulation, they're going to do things that's unheard of, unimaginable. How in the world will America turn in such a way? How is it possible that a democratic country, amen, in our operation of government would make choices to follow the Antichrist? I'll tell you how. Amen. You let every praying person go out of this world and see what kind of evil takes place. That's why I don't want to be here. I wouldn't want to miss the rapture for nothing. Amen. You take praying people out of here. Can you imagine what you would do if people wasn't praying for you? Amen. This world will take, they'll pass laws in a matter of moments. There'll be things take place. Everything will set in order. I'm telling you, when the church goes out of here, the Antichrist spirit will be in complete control of the world within moments. Because praying people will be gone. Are you talking about power in prayer? We've got power in prayer. And you talking about power? We've got power. Amen. They said, there's power in prayer, power to spare. Amen. A bed holds a body. Amen. That's, amen. You know, got all this pain and said the doctors have given up. But wait, somebody's praying in the midst of the gloom. And all at once, the great physician steps into the room. I know she told the story about her grandmother praying for her daddy while the gun was pointed to his face. She didn't know the gun was pointed to his face, but she was on her knees. There wasn't a devil in hell big enough to make that man pull the trigger. I mean, the angel had his finger behind it. Hallelujah. You're talking about praying, Sister Bobby. Amen. I'm talking about seeking God. Amen. Y'all know, y'all have heard the story. I've told it many times this Mother's Day. Amen. I'm almost done. I'm just preaching here about strengthened to agonize. They said in World War II, amen, that they needed somebody to volunteer for a suicide mission. And they would nobody volunteer. He said, this is a suicide mission. You won't come back. Finally, a young man stepped up and said, I'll volunteer. He was a private. And he said, I've got conditions. He said, I can only go between like 3 and 4, let's say, a certain time in the day. He said, but if I can go between that time, I'll go. They said, okay, that's fine. So the sergeant let him go, and he left with that message or whatever it was on that suicide mission. He came back to the battalion. He made it back. Did they shoot at you? Yeah. Did they see you? Yes. Did they come at you? Yes. Amen. What happened? I just made it through. Amen. Was there this? Was there, oh, yes, yes. Every question was yes. Did you deliver? Yes. How did you make it back? Well, I got to tell you something, sir. He said, my mama told me she'd be praying for me every day. And it was like 6 to 7 or something in the morning for an hour. And he said, I done the time change. We was over here. Amen. I done the time change. And he said, I knew if I could get it done and get back while mama was praying, that there wasn't no bullet could get me. Hallelujah. I'm talking about prayer that works. Amen. Prayer that's greater than any army. You know what's more powerful than the United States Army? You know what's more powerful than the United Nations? You know what's more powerful than the President of the United States? You know what's more powerful than billionaires and doctors and lawyers and politicians? You know what's more powerful? You take a little old grandma who can barely get out of her chair, and yet she'll cry out to God. She's got more power than all of them put together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. How many of you would be honest? Don't raise your hand, but look at me. Amen. Hold on just right here. I want to ask you a question. Don't raise your hand, but be honest with yourself. How many of you, if you'd be honest, don't raise your hand, just look at me. Amen. But how many of you, if you'd be honest, would say, I'm not praying like I should or like I have? You know why you're not? Because all hell knows if he can keep you praying, from praying, he'll win this battle in your family. You know why sometimes it seems like it's so hard, amen, to get down there and pray when we love to pray so much? Amen. You know why sometimes it seems like it's so difficult to steal away and pray? Amen. Maybe meet somebody. I remember me and a man used to meet early in the morning and pray. Amen. I've heard of family members getting together and meeting and praying. You know why the devil's against that? Because he knows, amen, that's more important, amen, than any other thing in your life. So he hinders it. He stops it. He blocks it. He disturbs it. He shakes it up. Amen. Sometimes the hardest time for us, the hardest thing for us to do, is get down there at that altar and pray at that house. The hardest thing, that's the easiest thing to do. It's the hardest thing to do sometimes. Why? Because there's devils in hell, amen, that's sitting there with their calculator, amen, and calculation and their big guns and everything, saying if we can just keep them from praying, amen, mama, keep praying, daddy, keep praying, brother and sister, keep praying, church, keep praying, wife, keep praying, don't stop praying, amen, he's going to give you strength. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. An angel came and strengthened him. The angel will come and strengthen you. God will send an angel. God will send a message. God will send strength from heaven. Amen. He'll strengthen you. Amen. What are you going to do with that strength? Maybe you're encouraged tonight. Maybe you're blessed tonight. What are you going to do with that strength? Are you going to waste it? Amen. Are you going to pray more earnestly? Jesus got strengthened by the angel, and yet he went and prayed harder than ever before. Hallelujah. There's a couple, amen, coming to church and said, they, you know, got saved, and God kept dealing with him to tell about things he had done. So he told his wife, he said, I can't. I remember Sunday morning, he got up, he said, I've got to do it today. He had committed adultery on his wife. before they got saved. He'd come down and pray seeking for the Holy Ghost. God said, you're going to have to tell her. You're going to have to do it. He'd come down and pray. I mean, just time goes on, maybe months. He said, whether she leaves me or not, I got to do it. He went and told her that afternoon. I remember they come back to church that night. Man, you're talking about cold. I mean, nobody else knew besides him and her. And nobody else. But, of course, we had a small church, you know, just a few of us there. Probably 10, 12 of us there. And, man, I mean, it was like icicles all in that place. I was looking on the fan. The fans wasn't even sweating. I mean, ice in that place. Monday, Tuesday, he called me. She ain't spoke to me since I told her. Wednesday. I think it was maybe, I don't know, a couple of days me and Sister Bethany said we felt like we would fast or something, you know. We got to praying. Bethany was over there, over at the house, you know, where we lived. That's before we had kids or anything. And she said, I'm going to pray for them, you know. You remember that? She got down and got to praying for them. I went over to the church there at the old church, went over and got to praying, Sister Janice. And the Lord spoke to me and said, let it be healed. I didn't even know it was in the Bible, but said, let it be healed. I mean, the Lord was helping me. We was praying. I mean, they was fixing to bust up. They was fixing to split. You know, that's dangerous. Amen. Destroy children and home and everything. You know, it's fixing to bust up. Amen. That's not God's will. But God had joined together. Let not man put asunder. Amen. And so we got to pray, and God spoke to me and said, let it be healed. Before I could get to the house, amen, and tell Sister Bethany, she came over and she was crying. She said she called me and said she's got dinner ready at the house. And when he comes in from work, said something about this evening. She was in her room praying and said the thought came to her. This happened when we was sinning. And look at all the things I did. We was a drinking and drugging and carrying on. Look at all the sins that I'm going to forgive him. That'd be a shame to not forgive him. Amen. He didn't even have to tell me. My God, help us. Amen. It was the power of prayer. I believe that. I said it was the power of prayer. I remember another time when we was at our house. Amen. They was a home fixing the bus up. Matter of fact, they're still married today. Hallelujah. I said they're still married today. My God, I wish they'd get in church and live for God. But their home is still together. Those boys still have a mom and daddy. Amen. The girl still has a mom and daddy. Thank God. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah, the power of prayer. I remember somebody said, we're going to split up, we're going to divorce. Amen. Me and Sister Bethany hit that ottoman there in that room when we lived out in Liberty City and got to pray and said, God, don't let them bust up. God, don't let them. Don't let them. We prayed. I remember Sister Bethany, we pulled out that Bible and said, Lord, you said if two of you agree is touching anything, it shall be done. Hallelujah. Did you know that? If you can find somebody that will agree with you in the Spirit over something, God's word said it will happen. We joined together and prayed, and they're still married today. Hallelujah. And I serve notice on the devil. Amen. And I tell you right here tonight what I said when I started. I believe in prayer more now than ever. Hallelujah. I said, I believe in prayer. It's dangerous to quit praying for somebody, give up on somebody. Somebody hurt you, you can't take it personal. They put a knife in your back, you just got to pull it out. They hurt you, got to keep on praying for them. Their soul is in the balance. Hallelujah, I said their soul is in the balance. Thank you, Jesus. Power and prayer, God will strengthen you. God will help you. Push it on when you get that strength. Amen. He said, let me go for the daybreak. Because Jacob said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Hallelujah. Get the word of God out when you pray. I've done it many times. I said, Lord, right there, read it. Right here, Lord, read it. Your word says this right here. I'm going to read it anyways. Read it out to him, Lord. You said you'd do it. Hallelujah. You talking about power. There's no telling what would happen if a church just right here, if just us right here, if just some mamas, some daddies, some husbands, some wives, amen, would believe God and pray. and seek God. What would happen if we put the emphasis on prayer? I'm telling you, there's churches all across this country. They're talented. They can sing. They can play music. We got great talent around here. Singers and pianoist and organist. I mean, think about what we got around here. But I mean, there's those that can amaze you. But the devil ain't afraid of a talented church. People can sing and have choirs. Preach, you talking about preachers preach, make me hang my head here preaching. I'm talking about anointed preaching, blessed preaching, studied out preaching. I mean, illustrations are just wonderful. I think, man, am I even called to preach? But the devil ain't afraid of good preaching. I'll tell you what he is afraid. I'm talking about something that Sister Bethany make all hell tremble. Something that'll make the gates of hell rattle. And the devil said, what in the world is going on? Somebody get on their knees and begin with a sincere heart to cry out to God. Say, oh God, save my son. Save my daughter. Help me, God. Help me, Jesus. Brother John Gabbard preached our tent revival last year. He tells the story about how he was drunk for so many days he didn't even know where he was. And his brother-in-law told his wife, which would have been Brother Gabbard's sister, said, if somebody don't touch God and he don't get saved, he's going to die or kill somebody soon. And he went to fasting while he was working, fasting and praying. I believe it was some hundreds of miles away. He was in Ohio. He was in Kentucky, vice versa, whatever. He said, I'm telling you, he said, I don't know what happened to me. Y'all heard the story, maybe some of you. He said, all I know, he said, I got in my vehicle and I drove to my brother-in-law's house. He's traveling the nation and preaching the gospel today. God has used him to heal people and bless and touch like you wouldn't believe. He encouraged us as a church. What was it? Somebody prayed for him. What if your son is the next evangelist? What if your brother is the next evangelist? What if your cousin is the next pastor? What if your dad or your husband or whatever? I'm telling you, if somebody get a burden and pray. Hallelujah. Strengthen to agonize. God will encourage you. God will bless you. Thank you, Jesus. I'd like for us to gather in these altars. It'd be a shame for us to go out tonight without praying. The Lord dealing with us like this, and I know I preach too long. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's gather in these altars to pray. Maybe you have a need. Maybe you have a burden. Maybe you want to pray for somebody with somebody. Maybe there's something you want to pray about. Hallelujah. Maybe your prayer life is weakening. Maybe your prayer time is shortening. Maybe you've been gathering together with others. Maybe family members, someone pray. And the devil's been hindering you. The Lord touched your heart tonight, encouraged your heart. Hallelujah, Jesus. I want to thank you, Jesus. I want to bless you, Lord.